inspired by God. So Revelation, 22 chapters. So I'm figuring around 22 weeks of study. Now here's the thing on this. You won't want to miss any week because if you miss, you're going to miss something very important, and that's just the way the book of Revelation is laid out. Next Tuesday night, I don't know where that come from, but anyway, next Wednesday night, I will probably combine chapters 2 and 3 because it's on the letters to the seven churches. I think I can combine all that and still get us out of here at a reasonable hour. But we're just going to follow the Lord on that and His leadership. But other than that, we're going to take one chapter every Wednesday night. There will be some places where we may stop in a chapter, and we may do a whole Wednesday night, for instance, on the Antichrist. I think that deserves just a lesson in and of itself, apart from where we find him in the book of Revelation. So just giving you a heads up, that's going to be chapter by chapter. We're going to try to cover everything. I would like, if time allows, to allow two or three questions to be asked at the end of the service, but we really need to stick to the chapter. Don't jump ahead on me to the new heavens and new earth or something like that. So we'll see how that goes. So tonight, may God add the blessing to the reading of His Word, because we're just going to go chapter or verse by verse in chapter 1, and we will read each verse as we move along in this text. Now, I want to say this, really, and you'll find along the way, I'll be making references to Daniel. I'll be making references to Zechariah because there's some truths there. In fact, in the book of Revelation, watch this. In the book of Revelation, 404 verses, I believe. 404 verses in 22 chapters. 404 verses. Out of those 404 verses, there are 297 either direct references to Old Testament Scripture or allusions to Old Testament Scripture. Over half of the book gives us direct references back to those Old Testament Scriptures, all the way from the book of Genesis on through the major and minor prophets in the Old Testament. So to begin with, let's look in verse number 1. Well, let me say this. I feel like I really need to point this out, because depending on where you read in your study of Revelation, if you go to the bookstore and pick up a book, you're going to find this book interpreted in many different ways. And I hope you know that every book sitting on the bookshelf at the Christian bookstore is not biblical, nor are they all Christian. Okay, can I say that? So you have to use caution as to what authors you read if you are reading some kind of commentary or a book that's written about the Bible. So one of the ways, four ways that the book of Revelation is interpreted. Number one, it's interpreted in an allegorical way. There's some people, they just say it's all allegory, which means that the places, things, people in the book of Revelation, it's all just symbols, or they just spiritualize the things we find in the book of Revelation. And one of the reasons they do that is because they can't explain what they see in the book of Revelation. For example, and this was a popular belief many, many centuries ago, because they couldn't understand things like where in the book of Revelation during the time of tribulation, those two witnesses that God raises up to work miracles and power, they are slain, they are martyred by the Antichrist, and they lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days, I believe it is. But they lay in the streets of Jerusalem, and the Bible says this, that all of the world shall see them. And so really, just 50 years ago, we could not imagine how that text could be true. How could literally those two witnesses be slain, lay in the streets of Jerusalem, and be seen by all of the world? It was not understood in my grandfather's day when he was born. Well, today, you and I know exactly how that's possible with modern television and so forth. I mean, when they drop a bunker-busting bomb in Afghanistan, we can watch it just almost as it happens. We watch raids on Islamic compounds as they unfold and as they take place. So modern technology has allowed that, but the allegorical method, where you just symbolize everything, That was something years ago. It may still be that belief out there. The problem with that is this. The problem with that is if you're going to symbolize and make an allegory out of the book of Revelation, well, then you have to do that with the rest of Scripture too. And then you're on dangerous ground, because then you're taking something like the cross and you're just saying it's symbolic or it's allegorical. Well, we don't follow that view, needless to say. Then there's the preterist view, which says that the book of Revelation, you need to understand this so you see how we're approaching this. And it also accounts for some of the ways you have seen this book preached or taught or written about. The preterist view says that all of Revelation is all of the church history in the past. It's just about the ups and the downs and the struggle of church history. Well, then there is this historical view, which says that, it is about church history, and it's about church history all the way up to our present church age, but that's it. Well, we don't believe that either. We believe some call it a futurist view. I like to call it a literal, prophetic, historical view of Scripture. We believe that where there are symbols used in the book of Revelation, most oftentimes, not all the time, but most oftentimes, those symbols are later described in Scripture, or they are, it's explained to us what that symbol stands for. We'll see that in chapter 1 tonight. So understand that we are looking at this from it is a prophetic book. It certainly is. There's much prophecy in here. It is really a book of promises to the world, not just to the believer, but to the world. I think I saw this morning on the news where Joe Biden made a campaign promise and said that he was going to cure cancer if he would be elected president. Well, I'm going way out on a limb here, but given that cancer is over 100 different diseases, there's no one cure to fix cancer, I'm just going to go way out on a limb and say that promise will probably fail, even if he is elected president. It's probably going to fail. But what God has said in His Word here, it's not going to fail. Hey, what God has spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos, I assure you that everything that is written here will unfold. Now, yes, the book of Revelation is an exciting book. Yes, it is. It is full of things that we envision in our mind that Revelation ought to be. But I want you to understand, it's not exciting in the happy excitement type atmosphere. It's only exciting in the doom of what lays ahead for mostly those who are unbelievers. And so probably at the end of this message tonight, what I'm going to do is I will give an invitation. I'll give an invitation for you I'll give an invitation for those who are not sure where you'll spend eternity to come to this altar and give our life and heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give an invitation for you who have no hope because you've never been saved to give your life so that God Himself can fill you with hope and His love from above. But so we believe that this book is written for practical purposes in the day in which we live. Now, let me say this. Never has there been a time when this book is more relevant than the times we live in. It is very relevant in this age, and we're about to look at that. And I should probably just go ahead and let's read some Scripture right here as we begin. So look with me, if you will, there in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. So the book is called Revelation. Some of your books may say, your Bibles may say for the heading of the book, you may say the revelations of St. John. Well, it's not the revelation of St. John. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In fact, the central theme of this book, now watch this, this is so interesting. The central theme of this book is Jesus Christ in all of His glory, in all of His power. See, we read the Gospels and we see Jesus as a lamb. We read the Gospels and we see Him in His meekness, born in a cattle barn there in the feed trough. We see Jesus in all of His humility, but in Revelation, He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We see Him revealed in all of His power and in all of His glory. And so that is the central theme of the book of Revelation. That word revelation there, literally, in the Greek text, it is the apocalypse, or it means the unveiling. So watch this. So there are those who will say that you can't understand this book. This book is not meant to understand. By the very name of the book, the Revelation, the word found in Scripture, verse 1 right there, God wants us to know these things. So they're not secret, this is the unveiling. Daniel, when speaking of some of these things, he made it clear that the understanding of his truths were, the time for it was not at hand yet. But here, as John writes, the Lord makes it very clear that it's time to be unveiled, that the timing is now. And so this is where we're at in Scripture. And never before has the revelation been more relevant or been more applicable than it is today. That word there in verse 1, that phrase that says, show the servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now, I want you to understand that word shortly come to pass, that phrase shortly come to pass, yes, it can mean soon. Okay, it can mean soon, but it also primarily means sudden. When all of this starts to happen that we're going to read about in these coming weeks, when all this starts to happen, it's going to happen very sudden. And I just want to reiterate again that there is absolutely nothing else that is left that has to take place before Jesus comes for his church in the rapture, before he comes. Everything has taken place. The only thing I believe that has to take place is that one last soul must be saved to complete the body of Christ, and then God the Father will tell God the Son, go bring your church home. So that's what we're waiting on right now. The world scene has never been more closer to this sudden unveiling, if you will, than it is right now. We think about the nation of Israel being reborn in 1948, there was a time and times when we would read the Bible and people reading the Bible couldn't understand how that some of these things would take place, being that Israel was not even a nation nor in their land. Well, now Israel's been restored to that land and has been for nearly a generation. What about the apostate church in the age in which we live in? Man, I am telling you, when I watch and I see what people call a church today, when people say they go to church, and I say, where you go? And they tell me about a place they go. I know I know how the church operates. I know what they believe. I know how they're trying to draw people and this feel-good type religion today. Who would have ever thought 50 years ago, and you know, if this is your favorite guy, then I'm not going to call his name, but you're going to know who I'm talking about, and I'm sorry that it rolls that way, but that's just the way I roll. But who would have thought of 20 or 30 years ago that you could fill up a stadium in Houston, Texas, and just pump people up with that you're good because you think good or because you speak good, that there's goodness inside of you, and if you think it, you'll have it. Claim it, prosperity, wealth. Who would have thought that would have filled up a stadium with 60,000 people Sunday after Sunday? Man, I'm telling you. Now, don't leave next Wednesday night just because I'm hitting on you. You got his book laying on your nightshelf, okay? Read it all you want to. I'm good with that. If that's, you know, if you're good with it, just show me the Bible in all of it. I want to know the Bible. So the apostate church, what about the rise of Islam? What about the persecution of Christians today? Man, we're mocked. We're made fun of. They're trying to press us out and push us out. For maybe the first time in history, we are at a place where this book makes more sense than it ever has. Verse 1, John makes it clear that this is the unveiling of Jesus Christ in all of his glory, in all of his power. And he makes it very clear when he says these things will come shortly, that they're going to come suddenly. And for that individual who says in his mind, I'm going to get right, but I'll get right tomorrow. I'm going to get right, but I'm going to wait until next week. I'm going to get right, but I'm going to wait till next month. I'm going to get right, but first I want to fix all these things. Listen to me. When Jesus comes for his church, my friend, these events are going to unveil and unroll, and it's all going to be sudden, and there'll be no time to fix things and make things right. It's sudden, and we know from the signs that it's near. Up home, and we've got some friends visiting with us from there where we live out in North Carolina tonight, Brother Ray and his wife. But up home, I'm sure it's this way down here. I don't really remember during August paying attention to this last year. But up home, usually in August, my house is about 3,100 feet in elevation. I'm surrounded by three sides by high ridges or mountains. And almost on the fourth side, there's just a little narrow gap that's open where my house sits in this valley. But in August, there's this sometime in August, that's all I can tell you. Sometime in August, though it may be hot, the day may be hot. Well, according to North Carolina standards, I mean, I'm talking like a whopping 82 or 83, burning me up, killing me, you know. Sometime during August, I'll be out working in the yard. And there'll be this breeze that comes along. And in that breeze, you know that fall is on its way. There's a smell that comes with it. There's a coolness in that breeze. And for me, because I love fall, I love the color, I love the seasons, the changing of the colors, hunting season, fish start biting again, all that stuff. So for me, I love it. I mean, I'm like a buck that's rutting whenever, you know, fall blows in. But there's this, you just know, it's just something you smell and sense that, hey, fall's here, it's coming. It's right around the corner and there's no stopping it. Well, brother, I'm telling you, if you're tuned in spiritually, I want you to know that it's coming. And it's not an it, it's a he. He's coming. And everything says that. So look in verse 2. The Bible speaking of John. Who is this John? Well, this is sometimes called John the Revelator. He's penned the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Verse 2, who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things he saw. So John is writing down this testimony of Jesus Christ and everything that he saw. Now watch this. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let me say something here. This is the only prophetic book in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there's 17 prophetic books, but in the New Testament, this is the only prophetic book. But watch this. And given so, this is the only book in all of God's Word that gives such a special promise of blessing for those who hear it and those who read it, and not only those who read it and hear it, but those who heed, those who keep, the Bible says here. It's the only book with such a special promise. Now, Psalm 1, I know that Psalm 1 gives a promise to those who cherish and love the Word of God, but it's just talking about the Word of God in general. Right here in this book, in verse number 3, we see a special promise that is given, a direct promise from the Word of God. So here's what I know is going to happen. Because we're in this book as a church, I believe God's going to bless this church. It's a promise. It's written right here. God said, blessed are those, he that readeth and they that heareth the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. No other book has such a special blessing. But I will say this also. No other book in Scripture has such a curse promised to those who add or take away from this particular book. That's found at the end of Revelation.